encouragement ahead. No caution required. No detour needed. No U-turn expected. WIAM 101.1 FM. The Way.
Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products, insuring East Tennesseans for over 55 years. From your home to the nursing home and everything in between. For a no-obligation, personalized quote, Bob Johnson Insurance can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs. Open your eyes.
When visiting the Temple Mount is provocative, when Iran is the one helping Russia, when oppressive governments block your freedom of speech, when earthquakes are coming and organized religion is leaving, that means you're seeing the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, August 16th, 2024. Listen or watch any episode again, share them with a friend, a skeptical friend, read the articles that we talk about, or ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question. When you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or online at the Way Media app, which you can get from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here to ask if a parsley farmer gets sued, can they garnish his wages? Is Pastor Mark, whose kids once asked him what it was like for him growing up. So he took all their cell phones, shut off the internet, gave them all a popsicle, and told them to go outside and play until the streetlights came on. So that's
that's good.
It's somewhat. No. Is it somewhat true? Yes. Yeah, it is somewhat true.
I think it's very true. That's very good. That's more of a true statement than it is a joke.
It is. But some people will laugh at that nonetheless.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Before we get into our articles for this week, you've got a lot of things that are on your heart to talk about. And we have no listener questions this week, so we have plenty of runway for you to talk.
Awesome. Well, again, I wanted to, and sometimes it's good to have that free time. Just, you know, we used to do this on a regular basis, just start the show with a discussion time. And so I really like the fact that we can do that from time to time, because sometimes things pop up. You're like, hey, look, we need to talk about this. And there's some things going on right now that I wanted to kind of just make you aware of and to talk about. And we're going to see more and more of this coming, you know, into the new technology world and our culture and all that goes with that. But just watching Rome rise, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I'm just watching Rome rise. It seems to be almost kind of a contraction time where Rome rising is becoming more and more of in the news on a regular basis. And maybe you've been watching what's been happening over in the UK. What I mean by that is, remember, let's hit a reset button and remember here what the Bible says will happen in the last days. Remember, Satan's agenda, and that's where we have to always be looking at signs of the times, listeners and watchers. We have to be looking at the overall spiritual thing that's happening here and not necessarily anything political here on the earth. He's going to unite the entire world as one. He's going to, control the world just like the Roman government. Like the Antichrist will be like a Caesar. Daniel chapter 2 says there'll be a revived Roman Empire. We see that in the whole statue of Daniel's vision and dream and Nebuchadnezzar. And And so it's something we should be watching for. But in America, I don't think we see it as clearly, because what's happening is, first of all, it's going to be starting in Rome, or ancient Roman Empire, which is Europe, I should say. So that's where the biggest push is going to be. And then we kind of get secondary here, but then it's going to move its way here and take over here. So it's kind of like we don't see it as much as they see it over there. But it is happening rapidly. It is happening with a strong hand. And they are basically setting up a system in Europe where you cannot question anyone. You will obey the system. You will come under the governing authorities. You will do what we say. And we will digitize everything so you can't escape. You're going to be you're going to be caught if you try not to do it, because even to live, you're going to have to go along with the system, because everything is going to be controlled by surveillance and all that, which really comes down ultimately to the mark of the beast, Revelation 13, like we've talked about before. But a couple of things I wanted to bring up right off the bat are these: some of these laws that are happening overseas. If you've been keeping up with what's going on in the UK, Britain is just becoming a Muslim nation. It really is. It's transitioning over from a Western nation into a Muslim nation. They've allowed all these immigrants to come in and overwhelm the system. And not only have they come in and overwhelmed the system, now they've got them in positions of authority. The mayor of London there has been Muslim now for a good while. And you have also the fear factor of all the Muslims that are there. If you do anything that goes against Islam or hurts anyone, or I shouldn't even say hurts, even just goes against Islam, there's so many of them in the streets. I mean, you may get your business burned down. You may be stabbed to death. I mean, your life is in danger. And so what happens is, when you realize you're living in a society where your life's in danger if you say the wrong thing, then those that are still in authority that are not even, maybe not Muslim, but still even from the English mindset in the background, they're going to go along with it and they're going to stand up for it because they don't want to be targeted. And that's what's happening in the UK. They are now, because there's so many riots of the Muslims in the streets and so much damage and fires and just destruction they're doing and stabbings, and we've had some horrible stabbings there recently with the radicals in the streets, that they're afraid it's going to happen to them. So some of the officials are actually passing laws and have passed a law that if you point out some of these things, it's a criminal offense. If you, for example, if you see riots out in the street in your neighborhood from a group of Muslims that are destroying things, and you repeat that, you take a picture of it and post it online and say, look what's happening in my neighborhood, they're destroying my neighborhood, that's a crime now. If they say it incites hatred or anything toward a people group, that being the Arab population there, it's a crime. And they just had their first person that just basically was convicted and sentenced to jail time over there for nothing more than passing on free speech and a post. Now, again, we take free speech for granted. We may not have it much longer in America. But did you know there are no free speech laws in England? You don't have the right of free speech.
Mm.
So under their law, that's one of the reasons we got out of there. Our founding fathers came over here and they passed a law. And one of the first things they said was that you can freely speak, because they don't allow it over there.
Yeah.
So I get that they don't allow it. The problem is, they've gone from not only not allowing it, now they've gone to the point of where they're prosecuting anybody just for passing information on. And Greg, one of their main leaders, I forget the guy's official government post because I didn't hear his title. I was just listening to the statement that he made, the recording of it. And he said, even if you break this law in other countries, we're going to come after you.
Well, I think they put in, didn't they issue an arrest warrant for Elon Musk?
Probably so. I don't know if they've issued a warrant or not, but I know this. For example, they say they're going to come after people here in America. Now, this is why you think elections don't matter. If we get someone in office that allows England to extradite Americans who speak freely on our freedom here, and they extradite you under crime charges, guys, you think that could never happen? Oh, yes, it could. And you could actually, for simply using free speech in America, they now are threatening to say, we will have you extradited to the UK and convicted in the UK and end up in a UK prison where you don't even live or have anything to do with them. They'll see anybody that's an American, they get your eye up, we're ready to grab our shotgun and say, come and get us. You want to fight? We'll have the Britain-American war again. You want to go to war? We whooped you once, we'll whoop you twice, type thing.
Right.
The problem is, when people on this end of the pond, as they say, go along with it, listen, don't think your president and your elected officials don't matter. Because that's the kind of stuff. So you think, why in the world would they be so bold in the UK to talk about extraditing Americans over there or people from around the world to bring charges against them who aren't even there and don't even live there and try to force them under their laws? Why would they do that? The revived Roman Empire. What I'm trying to get across to you is, it is happening. Now, are we in it fully yet? No. But these are the rumblings. This is the headwind of this storm. It will get to the point to where worldwide you will be policed and you can be sent anywhere in the world. Anything will happen to you worldwide under criminal activity once the this world system kicks into gear. And then when it's turned over to the Antichrist, it's going to get even worse. And so note this, Greg. Here's something I want our listeners to make a note of. Again, I know that Kamala Harris just came out. Kamala Harris, I don't want to say it wrong. However you say it, I forget how you're supposed to say it. I think it's Kamala. I don't mean anything disrespectful. I just don't know what I'm supposed to say.
Yeah, I don't know how to say it either.
I think it's Kamala. So if I don't say it right, please forgive me. There's no ill intent here. Kamala Harris just came out with her economic thing today, which is basically socialism.
Sure it is.
It's a socialistic agenda. Now, why do I say that? I want our listeners to remember this. This is not about politics. It's not about Republican and Democrat. I want you to rise above the clouds and look in the spiritual realm with God and Satan and what the Bible says will happen in the last days. The Bible says that by the time the Antichrist comes into power, we will be a communistic world under like a Roman rule. Well, the step between freedom and communism is socialism. So what's happening is now you're seeing a push, I think, by the demonic realm to move a more socialistic agenda in place. And once people, because it's hard to step from the freedoms we have into communism. That's a big step. But you can step from the freedoms we have into less freedoms under socialism. So,
Has been happening in this country for a long time.
Yes, but again, remember, elections matter.
Yes.
If Kamala Harris gets elected, you're going to see a more socialistic United States of America. And it may not seem, oh, that's not so bad. The new generation kind of likes it. They don't understand it. That is the intermediate step to communism, which is a total dictatorship. And so what I'm wanting you to watch is, I'm saying I hope she doesn't win. But my point is, and this isn't Republican Democrat, it's just her position. I hope she doesn't win because of that. It is what Satan always does is he takes baby steps leading to his ultimate goal. So the first step is to get us out of our freedom that we have in America into a less freedom type thing, which is a socialism. And then from socialism, it's a smaller step from there right into communism. So you're going to be seeing a greater push worldwide toward a socialistic agenda, which will eventually land in more of a communistic agenda by the Antichrist based out of Europe and the revived Roman Empire. That's happening in UK right now.
I'll give you an example of what that looks like. And this is just a very small example. And I learned this before I came on staff here at the church. I worked at a company and my boss was from Germany. And he was moving back to Germany. And one of the cars that he bought was a Ford Mustang.
Right.
And he bought the four-cylinder version of the Ford Mustang instead of the big V8. And so I asked him, I said, hey, if you're going to have a car like that, and I know you've got the Autobahn over there, why wouldn't you get a car with a big engine and you can go fast? Because everything of size is taxed differently. The size of your TV, the size of your engine.
Interesting.
So, there was a freedom to have that, but it would come at a price. So the tax wasn't equitable in that sense. It was based on size. So really, through the taxation, they forced you to get small things, get not fast things, get whatever.
And that's historical,
That is a measure of socialism in terms of the governance that leads its way into communism and desensitizes the people.
Yeah.
And you get a generation of people that get used to that.
Yep.
And then it's easier to take that next step because you got a generation that's just used to it.
Yeah. You're right. You're exactly right, Greg. And I think what a lot of people don't realize, I wonder how much, again, a lot of it is, remember, with the Antichrist taking us toward a communistic type system, Caesar type system, worldwide control with the revived Roman Empire. There has to be a great level of control and data collection in order to do that because you need to know everything about everyone. I just learned today that the average British person, their face is scanned average 300 times a day in Britain by for data gathering. An average of 300 times a day for data gathering about who it is and different expressions and what they're going through in different times of the day. Now, think about that for a moment. Why is that so key? I want to shift gears now over into Australia because Britain is already socialist pretty much. They're socialist. And the Australia is really now, I would almost say, almost communist. I know they don't officially call it communism, but they are getting so much control over their people there. I don't know what's going on in Australia, but it is a very, very heavy-handed demonic stronghold in the world today. I don't know if it's going to be anything to do with the Antichrist or the Ten Kingdoms coming together. But if you watch Australia, they were leading the way in all the laws that were locking everybody down with COVID and the mask.
Big time. Oh, yeah. Yes.
They were leading the world in that, okay? And so they in China. And so they're doing it again. And you talk about data getting 300, you know, scans a day on your face in Britain and watching you and keeping all your records and really going to have total control of you. They are doing it to a greater degree in Australia, where now what they're doing is they're implementing AI systems where it's not only gathering all of that information, but they're gathering all this information and they're linking it to your lifestyle. That is, when are you mad? When are you happy? What is your mood? Are you headed to work? Are you headed home? Are you talking to someone? Are you thinking? Are you all these emotions? And what happens is, as all these facial scans and things are taking place, they log all that in a system. And in a very short amount of time, they're going to know everything about you and your emotions and what you're feeling by how you look, by how you hold your head, by what you do. And they're saying this is going to be good to help people in the sense of travel and not needing passports and all these things. They can go just with a phone. Everything's digital, and they're presenting it that way. But here's something else I know because of some of the tech stuff that's out there. And this is, again, for those of you techies, you probably already know this. If you don't know it, you can jump out there and find it. This is not hard to find. It's not conspiracy stuff. It's just general tech stuff in the tech world. What they're doing with our phones and our computers and our Apple Watches and everything else is, they, too, are monitoring all of our facial movements everywhere we go, when we're mad, when we're happy, when we're sad, when we're lying, when we're telling the truth. And they try to they put these in databases that they're collecting. The problem has been for these companies is they didn't have enough computer power to take each individual with all that information and log everything about them worldwide. Well, now they can. With AI technology, they're entering a brand new world. They're saying that soon they'll be able to take everything. Everything you've ever done is being kept in computers. All the sites you go to, the things you look up, all your searches, everything. They're keeping all that now. They have been for years. Your texts, your emails, everything. But now what they're going to be able to do, Greg, is going to categorize everything that Greg Hilton has ever done since the computer age, and they've been logging. They're going to be able to put all that information in one file about you. And there's so many tens of thousands of times that you had certain emotions that fits different things. The AI will be able to absolutely say with absolute certainty, you're either mad, you're sad, you're lying, you're telling the truth, you're this. In other words, you will not be able to hide anything at all ever again from any government official or anybody that has that information. They will know it. And you might think, oh, they can't know. Oh, they will. Because there's just too much information over a long amount of time. It's undeniable. It's there. And all of us pretty much, it's kind of done already. But I encourage you, that's why you cover up the camera on your computer if you can with a little sticky. You really almost ideally if you can on your phone, but that gets hard because we use that for everything. So it's almost impossible. But they're gathering all that information and they're presenting it as in Australia and other places. This is to be a benefit. It'll help us to operate without any, you know, any money, any billfolds, any devices, anywhere you go, your face, your eyes. They're scanning eyes, they're scanning faces, they're scanning everything. So now you don't need anything with you, which really, if it wasn't an evil world, that's pretty cool. Because then you just kind of show up anywhere you want. You've already got your tickets. They know it. You walk in the door, you don't have to show a ticket.
Yeah.
I mean, everything's done.
Of course, you have to negate the last 3 years when everyone was wearing masks. So you got to chuck that data.
Well, the weird thing is, though, is they kept all that data as well. And then now they know your emotions when half your face is covered.
Mm.
So they go by your eyes and your forehead. So it's even worse than it was before COVID, believe it or not. Now they can actually nail it down to the way you move your eyebrows and your eyes because they have thousands of hours of info from people's phones, from people, et cetera. Anyway, with that said,
yes,
when I say the scary part, first of all, I want to encourage all of our listeners who know Christ. I believe that you're going to be out of here before all this stuff is implemented by the world system and the Antichrist. I think we're going to step into some of it. We'll get a little bit of the storm, but we're not going to be here when it's really, really the darkness of the Antichrist. The rapture of the church, I believe, will take place before that. And I think Revelation backs that up. So I feel very comfortable and good about that. But what it means is, imagine after the rapture, everyone on this planet, everybody be forced to get a mark on their hand or their forehead. The Antichrist is going to cause this in this communistic system as it goes from freedom to socialism to communism, that natural progression of bondage and taking your freedoms away and locking you in. And what's going to happen is that they'll have all that data. And all they have to do is gather anybody in large stadiums, in every large event, wherever you are, wherever, anybody that's there, they have all the cameras looking at everyone. And as the Antichrist or anyone else is speaking, if they want to know who it is that doesn't agree with us, who it is that doesn't go along with us, who it is that's having a problem with us, you will show up in the system. You'll be flagged. They can literally go get you out of the crowd, and when the Antichrist begins to execute people, because he'll be, again, executing those who don't bow down to the image of the beast and bow down to him at the 3.5-year point when he declares that he's God. He can literally walk into a crowd. They can run the cameras, scan who it is, and without even asking you a question, execute that one, execute that one, execute that one, execute that one, and start killing people, and they'll be right. They will know who it is that's not standing with them. So he will have the ability to kill all of his enemies with 100% accuracy. You're either going to really go along or you're not. I see these videos of you know, Kim Jong-un.
Yes, in North Korea.
Yes, and you watch when they come out. Those people live in such fear. If you do anything wrong, he'll tie you to a pole and shoot a missile at you. I mean, he's brutal. He just uses giant artillery. Actually, it's kind of good. If you're going to do that, go ahead and shoot large artillery at me because it'll happen so fast I won't know anything. But he does it to make a statement. Right. When you see him in a room, you'll watch everybody immediately get this big smile.
Oh, yeah.
And this fake clap. Clap, 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 clap.
Yeah.
And it's like this little robot. It's like a little bunny or something.
Right.
You know why they're doing that? Because I've got to make sure that he thinks I'm happy, and I'm happy with him because he may kill me. Because if you don't do that, he said people before in his cabinet that weren't clapping as hard or smiling, took him out and put him to death.
Wow.
What I'm saying is that's what's going to be happening.
Yeah.
You will have nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. They will know whether you say nothing or at all. They will know what you're thinking, what you're feeling by all this data they've gathered on you. And it's going to be a scary, scary world for those who don't know Christ. As a believer, we don't have to be afraid. As a non-believer, it's a very serious thing. And that's why I say, that's why we need to be, again, making sure people know Jesus Christ. And so those are the two things I want to say real quickly about UK and Australia. Wasn't that quickly, but I want to mention it. Two other things I want to mention, then we'll jump into the articles today, is what's going on in Israel. Continue to pray for them. Only God knows the timing of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, but it's looking less and less like this would be the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. And we have had some questions over the last couple of months about, hey, doesn't there need to be some relative peace over there before the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war takes place? I want to say yes and no. First of all, no, in the sense that what it speaks of, when it says a nation in safety will be attacked, it's talking about, I believe, their military capability. They are able to protect themselves as a nation because, and here's why I say that, no nation is ever without any threat. So there's always some threat that's there. So that it couldn't mean that. However, I do believe more and more that it very well could mean there's not going to be current wars going on. So I think you could see, I think first we have to deal with what's going on down in Gaza and then deal with what's going on in Hezbollah and something die down anyway, possibly with Iran, before you're going to see this move by Iran and Russia. That doesn't mean we're not watching for it. But there could be a slight reprieve there, because of what the scripture says about kind of that a little bit more of a peaceful environment around them when this takes place. And also, it's encouraging to me because of that we may be in a time where there could be a possible temporary turnaround in our nation. I'm watching what's happening, and I know that the direction that the liberal movement, the Democratic movement is heading, and in many ways even the conservative movement, is heading toward this one world government. It's just more aggressive on the liberal side. Makes it look like and makes you think, all right, if this happens, for example, if Kamala Harris wins the presidency, things may happen very, very fast. This whole process, we may really be at that last moment where the Lord just comes, boom, we're done. But if President Trump wins, and I'm not saying he's godly or holy or none of that, that's not my point. He's going to be holding back some of that because that's not where he's coming from. He's not going to be promoting that agenda. And so what I mean by that is that because I see some of the things that are happening, I watched, again, I believe God protect the president. I'm just going to say it. I'm not saying that God protected him because he's going to be president or because he's right about everything. I'm saying certainly it wasn't his time to go because God tilted his head when that bullet went by and he should have been a dead man. I believe God spared him. Now, the explanation may be nothing more than it wasn't his time. But if it is more than that, and there's a signal here that possibly he may be our next president, that God's going to protect him, I watch at the same time, you're watching Kamala Harris and the Biden administration make huge mistakes if anybody's paying attention. For example, today with her economic thing she came out with, it's basically socialism, and it's basically what happened with back in the 70s with Jimmy Carter, where you had all the gas lines and all these people that waited, you know, blocks and hours just to get a tank of gas. Because when you start price fixing, what she said she wants to do, rather than letting the market choose the prices.
Exactly.
When you do that, it causes scarcity. And that means food becomes scarce, gas becomes scarce. You have this, it's a nightmare. And it really is the result of a socialistic type approach. But by her coming out and saying that, if any Americans are paying attention and they care at all about their country, they're going to vote against her. I know she's going to get a lot of people that are going to vote down party lines. They're going to say, look, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. I'm just going to vote down party lines. I get that. You're not going to change those people. But for those that float back and forth in the middle and think, wait a minute, what's this candidate doing? If they recognize and understand what's happening here and they remember any history and they know socialism and the outcome, they're going to vote against her. My point is simply this. It's looking a little bit more like she may lose. It's looking a little bit more like that there could be kind of a brakes kind of put on here for a few years. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not making predictions. All I'm saying is that it looks like maybe it's not time for God to allow the Antichrist to move forward. Now, remember, it's not about politicians or people down here. It has to do with what God is going to let happen. God's the one that either lets this thing move forward or puts the brakes on. And I look at it now, and it looks like there are some brakes being pushed right now. Is it God? I don't know. Is it just foolish political decisions? I don't know. Is the nation in worse state than I think, and there's more socialism here in America than I know? All I'm saying is God didn't allow President Trump to die for whatever the reason, and now Kamala Harris is making some what should be career-ending mistakes in her policies. If this follows through like it looks like, this would mean that there would be a conservative in the White House, which, although it's still going to be weird in the world, could slow things down. So, again, I know that was a lot of time we took there, but I had those things I wanted to share and get out, and we can jump into the articles. That's kind of my spiel this morning or this afternoon.
Well, I was going to say it's your opening prophecy monologue.
There it is. There's my prophecy monologue. Yes.
All right, we'll go over to Israel, and we'll, by way of Yahoo.com, this article dated August 13th, Israeli Prime Minister Ben-Gvir in provocative visit to the Temple Mount. Is going to the Temple Mount really provocative, or is it because he is a state figure versus just a tourist?
Well, you know, you nailed it. It's both. But you nailed it by both. And what I mean is, look, any Jew going up there, they don't like it.
Oh, gotcha. Yes.
But Jews still do it. There were the largest number of Jews ever on the Temple Mount this last Tish B'Av, which represents when the temple was destroyed, both temples. That's the largest number since they've been a nation again that's back up there. So the Jews are going up there, but they still give them a hard time, and it's kind of makes it a little bit tense. But you're right, Greg. The second thing is that, yes, because he is the national security minister, it's a big deal because now you've got not just a Jewish person going up there. You have an official government representative going up there, like when Ariel Sharon did, remember, back in the early 2000s, they called such a stink. But Israel National Security Minister Ben-Gvir, head of the far-right religious party and Prime Minister Netanyahu's coalition government, again, rejected talks with Hamas during a controversial visit to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem on Tuesday. Speaking in a video published on X, Ben-Gvir repeated his opposition to negotiations with the radical Palestinian Islamist Hamas movement on a ceasefire and the release of the hostages that it continues to hold. He also called for Jews to be allowed to pray at the Temple Mount, which is known as the noble sanctuary to the Muslims and is Islam's third holiest site, containing the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So, again, it's interesting. Islam has grabbed onto the Temple Mount, which really means nothing to them. The only reason they want it is because they don't want the Jews to have it. Jerusalem is not even mentioned in the Quran, whereas in the Bible, it's like over something like 800 times. The only reason they've grabbed onto it is because they don't want the Jews to have it. So, but the bottom line is they still say that it's their third holiest site, and they've got a mosque there, and they hate the Jews being up there. So there's two things to note here. Yes, it increases tensions. But the biggest thing to note here is that when these officials go up there, remember, it's giving more credence to a Jewish Temple Mount. And we know we're leading to eventually a Jewish third temple. So that's what makes this significance is the whole rebuilding of the temple sometime in the last days. When you see more of these officials going up there, this begins to create that talk and more opportunity. So, again, keep your eye on that. I think it's just further leading to the third temple.
All right, let's go to Reuters. This article dated August 10th. Intel sources say, not Intel, the computer chip manufacturer, but intelligence sources, if we can consider anything intelligent nowadays.
Yes.
Is that Iran is to deliver hundreds of ballistic missiles to Russia.
Yeah.
And you would think it would be the opposite. You would think Russia would be the one delivering. But, of course, Russia started for themselves a little skirmish in Ukraine. And I would imagine that their supplies are a bit depleted.
You nailed it. Their supplies are running low. Typically, they would be the one supplying Iran. Their supplies are running low. And now Iran, their buddy, is saying, hey, now we'll help you. Remember, this whole alliance, we need to be watching with Iran and Russia. They're becoming more and more military buddies. And that's what it's going to be in, when this invasion happens against Israel. Dozens of Russian military personnel are being trained in Iran to use the FAT 360 close-range ballistic missile system. Two European intelligence sources told Reuters, adding that they expect the imminent delivery of hundreds of satellite-guided weapons to Russia for its war in Ukraine. Russia defense minister representatives are believed to have signed a contract in Tehran with Iranian officials on this particular ballistic missile system built by Iran's government-owned aerospace industries organization called the Ababil, according to the intelligence officials, who requested anonymity. He said it would be represent a dramatic escalation in Iran's support for Russia's war and aggression against Ukraine. The spokesman said, the White House has repeatedly warned of the deepening security partnership between Russia and Iran since the outset of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. And the White House declined to confirm that Iran was training Russian military personnel on the FAT 360 or that it was preparing to ship the weapons to Russia for use against Ukraine. But either way, we know it doesn't really matter. What matters to us is that they're linking up, continuing to link up more and more and to help each other militarily. And so, again, it's exactly what we'd expect to see leading up to the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. So very interesting.
All right. Staying in the same category of Ezekiel, the Times of Israel on August 12th reported that Iran has prepped missile and drone units just like they did before the April attack on Israel.
Yeah, that's interesting because what you're seeing now is you're seeing a delay in this attack by Iran in what they call retaliation against Israel. And yet you're seeing also the talk that they're still going to do something that just recently one of their leaders said, we are definitely going to strike at some point. And you also see, though, the evidence. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. Well, the fruit looks like they're still planning on bringing an attack because they are prepping just like they did before that last thing they did in April. Iran has prepped its missile and drone units, it says, similarly to steps taken before Tehran's unprecedented attack in April, according to senior officials in Washington. In a post on X, Ravid writes, that is the Israeli journalist Barak Ravid, writes that the officials stress that neither Israel nor the U.S. can predict the exact timing of the retaliation attack that Iran has threatened for the killing of Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran last month, which is interesting because now it may even been their own people that killed him. So they're planning this retaliatory strike. And actually, remember, may have been their own people.
Yeah.
Ravid also quotes a senior Israeli official as saying, and I quote, the Iranians openly signal on the ground their determination to carry out a significant attack in addition to their public statements that the attack will exceed the one they carried out in April. So larger attack, Iranian public statements do not reflect any retreat. That's the bottom line is they're acting like they're going to do it. They're still saying they're going to do it. They just haven't done it yet, so we're just watching. Now, we know they're afraid if they go too far and Israel really strikes them hard or the U.S. strikes them hard, they're in big trouble. And now that we have all the warships over there, again, I think that's probably held back their timing. But, again, just know that if they have the opportunity to do it and they think they can pull it off, absolutely they will do it. So keep your eye on that. Again, and we bring these up because any of these could be a number of the hooks in the jaw that pull them into this battle against Israel, although I am still believing that very possibly we'll see everything die down with Hamas and Hezbollah first, but we'll see. We still need to be on our toes.
All right. The Jerusalem Post, dated August 13th, letting us know that Putin is to discuss the Israel-Hamas war, Iran with Palestine Authority, President Abbas.
Yeah,
so,
very interesting as well.
He's going to discuss prophecy, basically. He's going to open up Ezekiel 38 and 39 and read it to Abbas.
Yeah, and you know, again, you have the whole Iran-Russia connection here, but now the PA is being pulled into this, which is going to be a part of that. So you see this whole alliance really just strengthening in all areas.
But could we not consider Hamas and Hezbollah really just, and for prophetic purposes, consider them just part of Iran?
Oh, they are.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. They are.
Yeah.
But now when you're bringing the PA in, though,
yeah.
the PA, I mean, they're a part of Hamas and Hezbollah, but they're a little bit separate in some ways. Sometimes those guys even have infighting among themselves.
Yes, this is
true. So it's kind of like they're there, but they're still kind of an outlier that has some others, and now they're all being pulled in.
Yes.
Which, again, makes sense. Russia's Vladimir Putin will discuss the situation, it says, in the Middle East with Palestinian President Abbas in Moscow on Tuesday, which already took place. The Kremlin said late on Monday, it is expected that the exchange of views will be held on the situation in the Middle East in light of current aggravation of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict and the unprecedented humanitarian catastrophe in the Gaza Strip, the Kremlin said in a post on the Telegram messaging app. Abbas is in Moscow on a long-expected visit until Wednesday and is to travel to Turkey for talks with President Erdogan afterwards. Now, here's the main part of this that I wanted to bring out right now, because this is the part that jumped out to me. It has also repeatedly scolded the West for ignoring the need, that is Russia, for ignoring the need for an independent Palestinian state within the 67 borders. Now, three things to note here. Number one, this is Russia scolding the West, saying there has to be a Palestinian state. Number two, they're saying the Palestinian state, they're pushing a Palestinian state. Okay, the fact that they're scolding the West is one. Number two, they're pushing a Palestinian state. And number three, within the 1967 borders. Now, for those of you that don't know, if you go back and look at your maps, Israel in 1967 was way smaller than it is now, and now it's only the size of New Jersey. So try to imagine that. At one point, with the 67 boundaries, Israel was at one point 8 miles across. Imagine having part of your nation 8 miles across with enemies on both sides. My point is, it can't go back to the 67 boundaries. That is suicide, number one. But now you see Russia, again, with further motive, not just allying with Iran, allying with the PA, not just wanting the oil there in the Golan and the gas reserves out in the Mediterranean, but now you're seeing and say, look, we want them to, just for the sake of the Palestinian Authority, go back to the 67 lines. So they're turning more and more against Israel in a more aggressive manner, which we would expect, leading into this upcoming war. So interesting to keep your eye on.
You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor.
I think some of these newer news sites, and of course I know this is tech related, but they've got one site called Mashable, and this one's called The Verge. We're on the verge, I guess.
That's
maybe what they mean. Anyway, well, we're on the verge of communism. This is for sure. Signal, as in the app, not as in I'm getting a bad signal. But either way, we're getting a bad signal. Signal, as in the app, has been blocked by the countries of Venezuela and Russia. And what do those two countries have in common?
Exactly, Greg. You know what it reminds me of? Again, it reminds me of the whole thing with the UK saying we're going to seek you out worldwide and try to extradite you to Britain to bring you under our laws and our crime as this revived Roman Empire takes place. You're going to see more and more control taken over of apps, of radio, of TV. There's going to come a point, I'm hoping that it won't happen until the rapture takes place, that we wouldn't be able to do this show anymore. I mean, the Antichrist cannot allow freedom of speech. He cannot allow the gospel to be preached if he's going to take the world over and have total submission. So at some point, these things are going to begin to fade even more. And that's what's happening here with this app. It's being blocked by Venezuela and Russia. The app is a popular choice for encrypted messaging and people trying to avoid government censorship. And the blocks appear to be a part of a crackdown on the internal dissent in both countries. In Venezuela, the blockage follows the disputed results of the country's presidential election last month, which have led to protests and arrests as President Nicolas Maduro clings to power, according to MSNBC. And again, you know, we all know that there was the election was stolen there in Venezuela. Everybody knows it was. The other opponent won overwhelmingly, but Maduro just basically strong-armed himself into staying in power. The U.S. has recognized opposition candidate Edmund Gonzalez as the winner of the election. Internet monitoring service NetBlox said Thursday evening that Signal had become unreachable on multiple internet providers in the country. Maduro has also ordered a block on X, the Associated Press report. So, again, where they don't want free speech, they're going to block free speech. And I don't know how much longer we're going to have it here in the States. Better use it while you can. But this is just, again, a foretaste of what it's going to be like with the Antichrist. You will only hear what he wants you to hear. And really, Satan is already positioning the world and working in such a way that you're only going to hear what he wants you to hear more and more. We're seeing that now. That the media, it's amazing how the media controls what the world thinks. Some of us that are older know how to find alternative media and know how to get information that's more accurate. But some, the new generation, they're just hook, line, and sinker, man. They're just, this is all they see. It's all they know. And they're believing all this, being led down this path to death by the spirit of Antichrist. And so that's exactly what's happening here with these kind of, and I don't, again, I don't know that much about Signal, so I'm not taking up for it. I'm saying it's just, you see what's happening. Block any real news from getting out. Only what we want to get out, so we can control the narrative and we can have control over the people.
Well, and that is definitely the spirit of Antichrist. You know, I'm reminded, you know, as you're talking about the things of the Antichrist, really, it's the spirit of the Antichrist that's prepping the things for the Antichrist to come on the scenes, because the Bible tells us that that one world government will already be in place when he shows up on the scene.
Yeah.
To take over.
Yes, it will.
It's like, thanks for getting it all set up for me.
Yeah, you think about it. It's being set up right now.
And exactly.
I think, Greg, I wouldn't be
surprised.
We're
in the middle of it.
I think it's going to be something that happens rather quickly. It may be a world crisis, something where it just kind of shifts over and say, guys, we have to shift everything to a new system now, and then it's in place.
Yeah.
But it's going to be in place, and then he steps on the scene.
So in that respect, in terms of the revived Roman Empire of a one world government again, there's nothing in Scripture that indicates that we as the Christians will not be here for that, meaning we could very well be here during the formation of the revived Roman Empire in terms of its officialness. Not that we're not involved in it right now, because we can see it happening, but in terms of the official declaration, we're the one world. Here are the 10 toes or the 10 nations or the 10 leaders, whatever, that are going to be running it. And then if we were there for that, then we would think, boy, the rapture is going to be super quick then, right?
Yes, you're right, Greg. We could actually see the 10 nations in place before we're gone. And you know, you think about it, if it gets put in place and then some world crisis takes place, like maybe the 38 and 39, the Russian-Iranian invasion, this massive war, that would be where, okay, we have everything in place. Now this war takes place. Not that it has to be in place for that war to take place. I'm using an example.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
But think about it. World chaos. Suddenly we find this world leader who has this power and authority, comes on the scene, and he comes and says, we need somebody to run this whole thing because it's all falling apart.
Yeah.
And just like the new boss, you know, that comes in, he fires three people. Remember, he's going to get three nations out, and he puts his government in place.
Yes.
It's the same idea. The new guy shows up and goes, all right, thank you. This is in order, but I don't like those three. You guys are gone. Now here's what we're going to do. And you see this whole process kick into gear.
A new definition for the term hostile takeover.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
All right. The earth is groaning. Let's talk about it. The Times of Israel, dated August 13th, earthquake centered in Syria shakes an already jittery northern Israel and Lebanon.
Yeah, and this is one of many to a point of earthquakes. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew 24. He said, the last days you're going to see an increase in cluster earthquakes. Now, why do I say the word cluster earthquakes? Because he said it'll be like a woman in birth pangs. And so when that happens, it comes in clusters and they get more and more intense. So you're going to see these cluster earthquakes taking place. That's exactly over the last week. There have been multiple decent sized earthquakes over there in the Middle East and in L.A. And so it's very interesting to watch this take place. It says an earthquake hit central Syria late Monday with tremors felt in northern Israel, along with Lebanon and Jordan. Syria's National Center for Earthquakes said a 5.5 magnitude quake struck 28 kilometers east of the city of Hama at 11:56 local time. U.S. Geological Survey put the quake's magnitude 5.0 and said that it had a depth of 10 kilometers. The German Research Center, GFZ, placed the magnitude 4.8. Jordan State News Agency reported 3.9 aftershock. Less than an hour after the initial quake, and at least 25 people sustained minor to moderate injuries due to stampeding following the earthquake. Think about that.
Yeah.
The Syrian city of Hamas health director, Mayor Yunus, said early on Tuesday. Now, remember also, you're seeing these cluster earthquakes, and where they're happening is interesting. Now, again, we're going to talk about some that happened there in Los Angeles as well, but it's interesting to me to see those in the Middle East, and especially northern Israel. Because remember, one of the theories that I've had is that something is going to break free some of those cone volcanoes in northern Israel, and earthquakes can break free things that have been closed up, sealed up, dormant. Earthquakes can crack the earth open, the magma begins to flow, and these things can come alive again. So keep your eye on the earthquakes in that region. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about that because you were talking about that, I think, maybe in the Wednesday night service. And Ezekiel does talk about earthquakes. Right? That's all part of Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the ground's going to be shaking. Yes, absolutely.
Exactly. Absolutely. So to your point, you know, an earthquake could give way to the volcanoes. I'm thinking, and again, there's nothing in scripture that says that these volcanoes won't already be reactivated prior to Ezekiel. But it almost feels like if God's really going to get the glory for this, those things are going to remain absolutely silent until that moment.
That's what I'm thinking.
And then the earthquake happens, and yes, there's been earthquakes, but there hasn't been an earthquake that's erupted volcanoes in that region.
Right.
Not to say that we haven't had earthquakes around the world that haven't resulted in volcanic activity.
Right. And it could be other things that take out the army too.
Yes.
But that's one of the things, you need to think about it, Greg. It could be a massive earthquake that opens up the ground and the masses fall in and get swallowed up and have nothing to do with volcanoes. I mean, that would still be something supernatural where people would go, oh my goodness, how did that happen right then? So there are multiple, there's not just one thing that could happen, but there is going to have to be something that just shows it's God and not man. And that's where it's going to get interesting. But yeah, all those links could be a giant earthquake, could be an earthquake connected to volcanoes, could be something totally separate. I mean, think about how weird this would be, but like an asteroid or a meteorite hit right there and wipe out armies at that moment. You also would realize, okay, that was from heaven. There's things.
Could you imagine the earthquake and then the ground opens and then the volcanoes come on and it's just like this one successive thing right after another.
Yeah.
You talk about God's version, potentially, not again, Ezekiel doesn't tell us that everything's going to happen at once, but you talk about God's version of shock and awe.
Yeah.
If it does.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I was just reading this morning in my normal reading. It happened to be Sodom and Gomorrah and the judgment there. And when you read what happened, I mean, it says that fire rained down from heaven. But what most believe, and I think it could be accurate both ways, is that there was an explosion of all that tar and all that stuff. And then it came down on them from the heavens. So it was from the earth and then back down to the heaven. Whether it was just straight from the heavens or not, we don't know. But either way, you could see how anything like that that drops down, you know, blows up around them or collapses around them or does whatever. I mean, I think that everybody knew this was a divine judgment. And everybody knew it was divine because it's kind of been revered throughout history as like this is where, you know, God's judgment against the wicked. Sodom and Gomorrah is kind of that historical picture.
Yes.
And so I think you see that God got the glory that there was a supernatural intervention. That was God right there getting it. You're going to have another one of those.
Yeah.
And how it's going to pan out, we don't know, but it's coming.
Amazing.
Yep.
All right. Our next story is to stay within the theme of our global prophecy of earthquakes. This one from CNN dated August 12th about the earthquake hitting Pasadena there in Southern California and, of course, shaking the greater Los Angeles area, which is not immune to earthquakes.
Yeah. They've, again, always a very strong earthquake area there, obviously, in California. And as Elvis would say, a whole lot of shaking going on.
Yes.
A magnitude 4.4 earthquake occurred in Los Angeles at 12:20. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, the notable quake had an initial reported intensity of 4.7, but has since been revived to a 4.4, the agency said. The shallow quake was only 7.5 miles deep and directly under the populated areas of Los Angeles. So, I mean, right under it. So it was likely felt widely despite the relatively modest intensity. It was a jolt, a woman who teaches at a nursing school in Glendale told CNN affiliate KABC, and then the building just started to shake violently. It wasn't those nice, rolly ones we get. I had to hold on to the door jamb. You know, I've never, when Greg, you lived out there, did you? Okay, so
The two earthquakes.
What does it feel like? I mean, is it scary? Is it just like, I mean, what is it? I've never been in one.
Well, unfortunately, when I grew up in California, I was there for two earthquakes and I slept through both of them. So
it had a huge impact on you.
So it didn't have a huge impact on me. Yeah. Although I woke up the next day and saw everything on the ground and asked what was going on. Oh, it was an earthquake. So that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
So I've never been in the middle of one.
Well, I've experienced, as a kid, I experienced the same thing in my room, everything always on the ground. So I guess I had the results. I had the results of an earthquake, but never the actual earthquake that took place. It was a Markquake.
Okay.
Yes. It was a Markquake. But I just, again, I hear people talk about it, and they say that it's one of the most unnerving feelings you can have. Because, again, there's this sense of, you look for, when something's shaking around you or something's happening, you look for a stability. You look for something to be solid. Well, everything's shaking. The whole earth around, so there's nothing solid. It's all there. And it reminds me of the, you know, where the Bible says that God will shake everything that can be shaken in the last days. I mean, not only there's going to be a spiritual shaking in the sense of getting everybody to turn to God, but literally there's going to be shaking. The entire earth is going to shake, it says, and crack open when the Lord comes back and all that's happening at his second coming. And what's that going to be like? And we're going to be in the heavens coming with the Lord and watching it. But how scary that's going to be for those that are on the earth. And the believers that are there, they will live through that big scary shaking and they'll be welcomed into the kingdom as the sheep, whereas the goats will be rejected. But wow, I just... And you know, Greg, we've actually had some earthquakes here, and in Tennessee, I did feel one, but no, we didn't have one here. That
yeah, we talked about that last week,
right? That you feel that shaking, but just that drop. And I think we had another one here recently that I never felt. It was a 2 point something that was right around us. I didn't feel anything, but I think there've been some more recently, even in our area.
Yeah, but upwards in this story, the 4.4, that's definitely. You can feel
that. Oh, yeah, you're going to feel that. You're going to feel that for sure. I don't know how that it works on a scale where just by each point it goes up a certain amount of intensity. And so that's why some of these, I think anything over an 8 point is like a mega earthquake or something. So,
well, you know what's interesting? The Pasadena Fire Department deputy chief was interviewed, and he said, "I felt like the whole ground was going away from under me."
Wow.
So, you know, to that point, it was like how that would be very unnerving, right, to think, what was it, Korah in the rebellion, and God opened up the earth and swallowed them? So, I mean, so you got to figure that was an earthquake, right, that happened in order for the earth to split and swallow, and they drop.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the fear of thinking that where you're at that moment, like the earth could be cracking and you could be going in the crack?
That's
for
pretty
the opening?
Scary. That's pretty terrifying. But I'm just glad I know the Lord, and that's not going to be happening to me. So praise the Lord.
Amen. All right, we'll visit the church, such as it is today, with USA Today, not necessarily a conservative news outlet, but their article here dated August 13th informs us that Gen Z women are increasingly leaving organized religion behind.
Yeah, well, and not just the Gen Z women. Of course, they're pointing this out, but it's happening across the board. But this is interesting. As a Nicaraguan-born girl growing up in Miami... Prisca Dorcas Mojico Rodriguez remembers going to church times a week. Yeah, Mojico. I'm not sure I said that.
Mojica.
Right. Yeah. Remembers going to church five times a week. I thought this first, when I first heard this, I thought it was Catholic, but it's not. Her father was a pastor, and their fundamentalist evangelical faith taught them that a woman's role was to serve her husband. At the same time, Rodriguez saw how essential women were in keeping the pews filled. And the church running. Now, that's actually very sad but true. Oftentimes, you see that women are the leaders when men are supposed to be the leaders. Ultimately, dismayed by the subservient role of women and the church's harsh restriction on girls, she would leave her faith and her husband in the late 20s. Now, before I even read the rest of this, let me make this point. This is truly, she obviously doesn't know the Lord. This is such a world's mindset. This is someone who does not understand authority. It's not about somebody being subservient to anybody. It's about God's authority structure. Jesus said this, "I do only those things the Father tells me." Jesus came under the authority of his authority. And if God Almighty can come under the authority of his authority, we have no excuse. You know, so whether it's a boss at work or whether it's the home structure or whatever. Now, it's being presented here as something that was done harshly against women. I don't agree with that. That's not my point. I know there's abuses. But the authority structure God has given is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But when it's presented as, why are you oppressing us and we want to rebel, then it looks like a bad thing. This apparently is what's happening with Rodriguez. She says, women are less inclined to be involved with churches that don't want us speaking up. They don't want us to be smart. Now, that's just false when it comes to the church. Again, this is maybe the church she was in, but there's nothing in the Bible that says that women can't speak and they can't be smart. Rodriguez, who went on to take a master's degree in divinity, she said, we're like the mules of the church. That's what it feels like. Through the Nashville-based, and this caught my attention because it's like right down the road from us, though the Nashville-based author and activist is now 39, her experience reflects a growing and, for churches, potentially worrisome trend of young women eschewing religion. Their pace of departure has overtaken men, recent studies show, reversing patterns of previous generations. Young women are moving farther left politically, said Ryan Burge, an associate professor of political science in Eastern Illinois in Charleston, who has examined the trend. Now, let me just say this. Look, the Bible says there'll be a falling away. There's going to be an apostasy and a falling away in the last days, men and women. And And just to make a quick comment on this, God has an authority structure. That doesn't mean that women are to be put under somebody's thumb and that they can't speak and they're not smart. That's not the point. There has to be structure, and God gives structure. So I'm not going to take the time to talk about why God instituted the things that he instituted, nor am I saying I agree with the fact of the comment she made about we're only supposed to be here just to be in the kitchen or whatever. I'm not getting into all that kind of those kind of arguments. What I'm saying is it's interesting to me to see this because the Bible also says that not only will there be a falling away in the last days, but there's going to be a loss of natural affection in women, a loss of natural affection in the mothers. And what that means is that women are going to lose. God has built into a woman a natural affection that is just in the DNA. And when that starts to go, that means you've made certain choices to inhibit or to push that back.
Right.
When those inhibitors go, then that's when a society is really in bad shape, because the women are the ones that kind of by nature have that nurturing and that protecting, especially over their own children, the family. When that goes, which is the kind of thing she's presenting here, you've got big, big trouble. But it goes right in line with natural affections disappearing in the last days. I was watching yesterday a cute little girl, a little boy. They reminded me of my granddaughter and grandson, about the same age. This cute little girl, she looked to be about a year and a half older than her cute little brother, then maybe 3 and 1 and a half, that kind of range, right in there, again, like I said, where my grandkids are. And the mom is in front of them. I'm watching them through this window. The mom didn't see behind her what was happening. The two kids run out of the store. They're following the mom, and the little boy falls down. And mom's just going to the car right there. And he gets up, and I couldn't hear because of the window, but I could tell he was crying or something. The little girl immediately ran back and ran to him and looked at his hand and started kissing his boo-boo. She grabbed his hand and started kissing him to say, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
That is the natural God-given reaction of what God has built into a woman's heart, even as a little 3-year-old or 2-year-old.
Now, good point.
Now, with that said, then I saw the natural boy reaction. She walked on. He throwing his hand like, leave me alone. You know, even though she was loving him, he was kind of pushing her away. So there's our problems as males.
Yes.
But, you know, I just thought, look, there's natural affection right there.
Yeah.
She's just a baby, and she had natural affection. Now you read articles about women like this, and the Bible says that women will be losing their natural affection. That is understanding their roles. Look, men have roles as well. I have a role. There's authorities I have to come under. And I need to come under those roles and obey God. I don't have a problem with that any more than Jesus Christ came under the Father and obeyed his authority and his role. So it shouldn't be any different for a wife or a woman or a child or anyone else or anybody in the workplace. But it's interesting to see this goes right in line with what the Bible says is going to be happening. It's not just, it's Gen Z, but I would say it's Gen Rapture, Gen Rap.
Yes, Gen Rap.
Gen Rap. Is
every
because,
gen.
That's right, because it's going to be more and more. When we get to Gen Rap, they're going to be really rejecting God and the things of the Lord. So it's going to be sad for the church, but really sad for the world and sad for those who follow this and don't just believe the word of God.
All right, well, let's turn our frown upside down and let's get some good news going here. this is from ChristianPost.com, article dated August 10th. You know, and really, this is good news coming out of the Olympics when you think about how the Olympics first started was just horrific.
Yeah.
And so this is good. Sydney McLaughlin Lavrone makes Olympic history and glorifies God at the same time.
Yeah, the 25-year-old American won the gold medal in Paris, France, by recording a time of 50.37 seconds, beating our fellow American Anna Cockrell, who won the silver with a time of 51.87. And the bronze medalist Femke Bol of the Netherlands, who finished at 52.15, third, then not having lost a 400-meter hurdle since 2019, McLaughlin-Lavrone's victory now never appeared to be in question. She said, I credit all that I do to God. Here we go. I love this. She used this platform to honor God because they used it for such a wicked platform to honor Satan the whole time. I love seeing those that honor God. She said, he has given me a gift. She acknowledged she had the gift, but it came from God. He's given me a drive just to want to continue to improve upon myself. She said at the press conference, I have a platform and I want to use it to glorify him. And so whenever I step on the track, it's always the prayer of God, let me be the vessel in which you're glorified. Whatever the result is, how I conduct myself, how I carry myself, or not just how I perform. I love that. Win or lose, I want to honor God. So it's just freedom in knowing that regardless of what happens, he's going to get the praise. The day after the gold on Friday, McLaughlin Lavrone appeared on NBC's Today Show and did the same thing. I'm feeling great. Honestly, woke up surreal. Honestly, you just got to run through the line. You never really know what's going on behind you. You just keep running the race. After setting another world record, in June, at the U.S. Trials, she told the NBC Sports that anything is possible in Christ. Praise God, she said. I was not expecting that, but he can do anything. Anything is possible in Christ. The Lord is sufficient in all things, and being able to glorify him throughout my career and through my life on the track has shown me a purpose bigger than myself. So, again, way to go for Sydney McLaughlin, and what a great opportunity. Again, the boldness that's needed. We need to be bold and speaking up boldly for Jesus in the days in which we live. The world is certainly speaking up boldness for what they believe and where they stand. We need to be speaking boldness for what we believe and where we stand, but we do it in love and in grace. And I want to finish with that even now. Again, once again, for those of you that are listening today, if you don't know Jesus Christ and you've tuned in for whatever the reason, I want you to know this. Here's what God says and what the Bible says. God loves you, whether you believe it or feel it or not. He loves you, and he died for you. It says in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe would not perish but have eternal life. You are whoever. And if you will simply confess your sin, the Bible says, confess your sin to God, ask God to forgive you of your sin, believe that Jesus died for you on the cross and his blood washed your sins away, and then receive him as Lord and Savior, the Bible says you'll be born again and you'll receive your place in the kingdom of God. I want to encourage you to do that right now. You can do that in your car, at your home, wherever you're listening to this, watching it, whatever. You can receive Christ right now. He's waiting on you. He loves you. And you know what? This is your moment. This is your moment. He's called you. He's opened your eyes right now. Take advantage of it and don't miss it. And I want to encourage our others out there that are believers already, be sharing your faith. The clock is ticking. Time is running out. Have boldness. If we have like Sydney McLaughlin's that can stand in front of a world stage and give God the glory, we can do that on a local stage as well. Don't be afraid to share your faith and to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, because we need him more than ever.
Yeah. You know, that is a great encouragement to leave on, Pastor Mark, as always, because the time is short. Normal is not coming back.
That's right.
But Jesus is.
There you go.
So let's get ready. All right, folks, don't forget thewaymedia.net or the Way Media app is where you can get everything Signs of the Times related, plus other content that we make available to be encouraging and educational in your Christ-likeness as you strive to be more like Jesus. And we'll see you next Friday for more Signs of the Times.